Sunday morning, the Lord willing, I plan to be here again and then to speak more directly to the congregation and about the congregation ministering to the minister. But this evening, it's a special evening to speak some special words to Rob. I'd like to introduce you to him. Maybe you already know him. But I'd like to introduce you to him. And I'd also like to give some words of instruction to Robert in the scripture, and also some words of encouragement. I'd like to introduce you to Robert, and of course you know different things about him already. I'm certain of that. You know something of his zeal, his excitement, something of his knowledge of the Word of God. And you also know something about how Robert goes about and makes a wedding proposal. You've had a lot of time with Robert and getting to know him. I've had more time. It's been my privilege to be able to be his pastor for around 12 years, something like that. Started when I believe you were in the 10th grade, Rob. Our son Dave also was in the 10th grade. And both of you would go around together and do different things together. And you've been at our home many different times, and thankful for that. And, you know, I've talked different times with Rob about God's direction in his life. He was concerned about that, and he struggled with that. And when I, as a pastor, observe what I would call very special struggle, intense kind of struggle in a person's life, not a struggle that's just a general kind of struggle, but a struggle to know the will of God, to be questioning about the will of God. To me, that is many times something of a clue that God is working in that person's heart in a very special way. Something of that internal call that was mentioned. Internal call to the ministry. We've talked about this different times, and I mentioned to Rob, and I said to him, as I look at your graduating class from high school, I can see two of you going into the ministry. You're one of the two. Our son Dave was another possibility. Turns out Dave is teaching school. Dave's also an elder. I said to Rob, advice that I also received about going into the ministry. And I think it is excellent advice. It might sound like very strange advice. I said to Rob, stay out of the ministry if you can. And if you can, get into it with all your heart. And I think that is such tremendously important that a person is under full conviction that this is not just some emotional thing I am going through. It is not just some adjustment in life that I'm going through. It is conviction that God is placing within my heart. Because a person needs to be fully committed to the ministry. And needs to realize that God is the one behind that commitment. I've observed different things. I've observed the times that you went to Mexico. And I remember a conversation that we had in our church council meeting at that time. And one of the elders said, this is a way, again, in which you can test out the will of God. And we were happy as a congregation to take part in something of the support for that trip to Mexico, for that summer time and ministry and missions. So all different forms of testing. Is this what God is really calling me to? Remember different times that we talked together when you were at York College, when you were at the Reformed Bible College, when you were at Westminster Seminary. Remember times that you talked about the Greek language and Hebrew. I shared your struggle. It's difficult. And yet, I could say this to Rob, that if God has called you to this, He will see you through it. He will see you through it. I've observed times of testing by educational institutions. I've observed, not really observed firsthand, but I've talked with Rob about time that he would be tested and examined by the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We as a congregation in Peoria, Iowa, we have remembered Rob in prayer throughout these times. And why do I say and bring this as something that's sort of a long type of introduction? Because it's been good for me as a pastor, and I think it's good for you as a congregation, to see something of how God has been at work within his life. You've known him for a shorter time than I have. I've watched his time of formation, and I've watched and observed something of that internal call of God to the ministry. And then through the church comes that external call of God. And God, through that external call, and God, through that internal call, brings the person into the ministry of the Word and the sacrament. I look at this passage of scripture from the book of Luke, and then I read that the Lord appointed 72 persons. He ordained them, he sent them out on a mission assignment. The Lord was back behind this, and I've given you something of some of the history, introducing you a bit in a different way to Rob. Because the Lord is back behind us, guiding and directing in the years gone by, to bring him to this time of being ordained into the ministry. And I know as I look at this passage of Scripture, there are going to be many things that you are not going to remember right offhand. But it's a passage of Scripture that you can go back to. And you can go back to it again and again and see what God says about ministry, how to go about it. I look at this passage, and there before the Lord Jesus Christ, 72 persons. 72 other than his disciples, 72 others. And he's appointed them to go on ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. The appointment is of the Lord, and the Lord sends them out two by two. God brought you here, Rob. God brought Jeanette here. Plan to get married. Sad. Be a kingdom couple. A couple who's committed to the kingdom of God, a couple that's committed to serving the Lord. Two by two. There's something so precious and unique about marriage and the way that marriage partners can help each other. Janae can be a tremendous help to Rob in the ministry. But Rob needs more people. He needs a church. He other helpers' partnership in ministry. I think this is tremendously important. That's why this coming Sunday morning I plan to speak about ministering to the minister. He needs to have people that he can ask for prayer. It's a partnership. He needs to be encouraged. The Lord Jesus knew that when he sent out these 72, there were going to be times that they would have to encourage one another, pray for one another. So that's the way he sent them out. And then he told them in these instructions that he was giving to them, this sort of orientation time that he was giving to them. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Take a look at the harvest. Plentiful harvest. A lot of people. A lot of people that you're going to meet, and you're going to be in a situation that you can be very much stressed out. And there's always going to be more time that you can put into the ministry. But you know, as I look at this passage, as Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. How does the Lord say to go about that? Does he say, put in more hours? Is it, want you to work harder? The Lord himself says, pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. It's something, once again, of that partnership kind of ministry. That you're not just alone in it. It's a partnership. And under times of stress, you go to the Lord and you ask for his help. Another nice thing that the Lord says about ministry as he is sending out these 72, says, go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. And I think, you know, what a nice job description. Good future, lamb among wolves, safe environment. You're going to have to tell people the Word of God. And sometimes people don't like the Word of God. It's not within our hearts the way we are by nature to have any appreciation for the Word of God. And so when you come with a message of salvation, people want to get at the messenger. They don't like the message. They want to get at the messenger. And yet, as the Lord is sending them out, they need to be very conscious of this. I am sending you, he says. Go. I am sending you. He's still the Lord. He's still in control. The Lord says something else about this type of work. As he is sending out these 72, he says, don't take along a purse or a bag or sandals. Another nice way to go into the ministry. Don't take all kinds of supplies along. And I think the Lord was communicating to these 72 people, to these 72, that they're going to have to depend on God. Not their own resources that they take along as their own baggage, but they're going to have to depend on the Lord who sends them out. And they're going to have to learn, too, that God works through people. The people to whom the 72 were sent, they were going to have to look after their needs. That was their responsibilities. The 72 were going to have to learn to depend on God. They were going to have to learn that God works. to not be needed by anyone. That's a very belittling kind of experience. It is as people go out, as these 72 would go out and have needs and rely on the people, that they would show their appreciation. That type of relationship in the ministry. Another thing that our Lord Jesus says in his introductory instructions, he says, don't greet anybody on the road. In other words, be an unfriendly pastor. Not really. Not really. If you think of the way greetings were given at that time, it was not just simply saying hello to another person, but it was something that took a lot of time, and these 72 could get sidetracked. The Lord Jesus was the one sending them out. The Lord Jesus had something very tremendous for them to bring. And don't get sidetracked in your ministry. Be focused in your ministry. You have something special. The message that they were to bring was this, peace be to this house. And when the Lord Jesus said that word, peace be to this house, that's the message you are to bring. It's with that whole Old Testament background of a word that was used for peace in the Old Testament. A peace that was sort of a wholeness to life. A soundness to life, a well-being of the entire person. It was seen as a peace that God would give. That God would give to those who were trusting in Him, who were obedient to Him. And it's a kind of peace that comes only as people are obedient to Jesus Christ. You're going to have to bring the message about Jesus. Salvation is only through Him. And it is never a take it or leave it kind of message. It is never something optional in a person's life to just simply hear the message of salvation that I need to confess my sins and I need to turn to Jesus and ask for the forgiveness of my sins and I need to trust in God for forgiveness of sins, but also His direction throughout my entire life. That's never a take it or leave it kind of message. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. He who rejects me rejects Him who sent me, says Jesus. Tremendous message that God has given to us. Tremendous obligation. And Robert, you are going to be representing God as you bring that message of peace with God for what Jesus has done for us on the cross. This week, I believe it was on Monday evening, I talked to Dennis Roosevelt, one of your former neighbors off Peoria, Iowa. And Dennis was having, he told me about a conversation that he had earlier with his son, Curtis, about 3 years old. And Curtis said to his dad, Daddy, where is God? And then he starts to explain about God being, well, everywhere present. But where is God, Daddy? I don't see him. Well, we can't see God. But Daddy, I don't see him working on the camper. Earlier that week, I had been working on the camper. And then I said to myself, wow, you know, that's what a 3-year-old picks up. I mean, there was some understanding meetings, that certainly had to be straightened out, and Dennis said he took me down a peg or two. But yet it was something that said to me, how that little one viewed that. And that little child needed correction on that, needed to have a different understanding about that, but certainly people must see you representing God. People must see you representing God, bringing His Word, bringing the message of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous task. But then, you know, as I go toward the end of this passage of Scripture, there's tremendous encouragement in this too. These 72 come back, you know, these 72 that are sent off as lambs among wolves. Nice job description. And they don't come back and they don't say, Lord, we were all torn up about that experience, and it was a terrible experience. You read in the Scripture, they came back with joy. They've been seeing something of what God was doing through them as they would bring the message. How God was changing lives, how they would see people controlled by sin. They would see people controlled by the power of Satan and then changed. And Rob, may joy come in your ministry as you bring the message of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as you see the lives of people change. People have been controlled by some bitterness within their hearts. Can't let it go. People controlled by some past experience dominates their lives. They're not the kind of person God wants them to be. People controlled by maybe some standard of living beyond their means. People controlled by something else in their lives. And yet, as you bring the message, God is at work. And you see the change. Change to be obedient to the will of God. And there's joy that comes out of that. And brothers and sisters in Christ, as God works in your hearts, by His Spirit, but He works in your hearts as Rob ministers to you. As He brings you God's Word, share with Him what God has been doing. Share with Him what God has been doing in your life. The changes that are coming about that bring joy and encouragement to Him. These 72, as they were seeing these changes, they come back, they're enthused, they're excited, they have joy. But then Jesus says, wait a minute. There's even a bigger reason. Even a bigger reason for joy. However, do not rejoice because spirits submit to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Here is something of an evidence within your own life of the Spirit of God working within you, that God has redeemed you. And rejoice because of the tremendous future you have because of what Jesus has done for you. But I also notice as I get to the end of this section, at that time, the Scripture says, at that time Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father. This was your good pleasure. timing of that joy of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just something as an accident. The scripture records it in this way, at that time. Right after these 72 came back with their reports. This brings joy to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to do the will of the Father, is seeing the Father's will worked out. He is seeing people submitting their lives to the will of God. The Lord Jesus is observing changes in the lives of people. Commitment. The peace of God brought in their hearts and lives. And it brings joy to the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout. From your ministry. May not only the angels in heaven rejoice over sinners who repent, but may our Lord Jesus Christ himself rejoice. May our Lord Jesus Christ rejoice because of the work of God through you. On the anniversary of your ordination, I'd like to have you take some time each year, the anniversary of your ordination, take some time to read through this passage of Scripture. Meditate on some part of it, some aspect of it, and how it relates to your ministry and what you are doing. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, God's been at work within his heart, his life. Receive this person as God's gift to you for God's work. Lord God, we give you thanks for the way in which you have been working in Rob's heart and mind. God, grant your blessing upon his ministry. May his ministry bring joy, O God, and praise and honor to you. And then, Lord, when that ministry here is done, that ministry here upon earth, that he might rejoice in a very abundant way in the glory of heaven. Be able to look back at what you have done through him and bring praise to you for your goodness through him. And God, thank you for allowing me to be his pastor.